At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi, and I'm on the grid, and so is the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Let's do this thing. We've got a ton of stuff to get to. Ton of picks, ton of games, little something for everybody on the program this evening. We've got NBA playoff basketball going on as we speak. We've got a game two between the Raptors and the Celtics. We've got the Nuggets and the Jazz, a game seven. New York Islanders trying to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 1993 when they lost to the Montreal Canadiens, the last time a team from Canada won the Stanley Cup. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, no doubt has picks ready to go. Basketball, hockey, full slate of Major League Baseball this evening. What's going on, Cam?
Yeah, just hoping we can get this first quarter, Gabe. Let's start things off with a bang in the basketball game, Toronto first quarter. I did the old first quarter, first half game. Not as many as you, but I got a lot of picks going on right now. And, yeah, we got baseball coming up at 6:40 as well. Should be a nice night. Can't wait for the ice, too. I need the Islanders to close it out against the Flyers. And Vancouver needs to stave off elimination against Vegas. Should be a lot of fun tonight. Things worked out really well for us on the ice with Tampa Bay and Colorado last night.
Yeah, and not to mention the under of the Boston and Tampa game. Things also worked out well last night for the strikeout props. A nice clean sweep, a grand slam, 4-0 with the strikeout props. We stumbled on the highway to hell in the NBA bubble last night. That's where the losses got to us. But you can't win them all. Nope. You can't win them all. Donnie Wrightside's going to step up and in. I've got five strikeout prop plays for this evening, a couple of baseball bets, an NHL play. Of course, we'll have a pick for the game seven tonight, and we'll get you some in-game numbers for this this Toronto Raptor and Boston Celtic game. You know, there's a lot of tension in the air in that bubble. You can feel it. And, you know, I was watching a little bit. I was watching Pharrell, and I was also watching the pregame show a little bit, and you know, watching the ESPN pregame show, Kev, you'd think the Raptors are down 3-0. They're completely done. Kyle Lowry's hurt. Van Fleet can't hit a shot. Siakam's not a superstar. And I'm thinking, damn, man, you guys, like, abandoned ship pretty fast. You know, there's not a lot of things that, you know, you can say are the worst things in the world. Tuning into a basketball game and getting Stephen A. Smith as, like, the pregame analyst, that's, like, one of the worst things in the world. Like, it doesn't get much worse than that. It's because it's an early start. I don't know, maybe he's on now or something because it's his start. You know what I mean? It's his time. Because normally, whatever. He's an entertainer. He's a loudmouth. But he's not a basketball analyst per se. But, you know, there he was on the panel with Jalen Rose. And, of course, it was just a big pile of steaming crap, everything that he had to say.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to tell you one thing. I know it's not perfect right now, but I think Siakam will be able to go to the rack in this game, and he's going to be absolutely key. He's got to go in there, make a couple moves, and dominate inside, and I think the Raptors will be fine in this game. That's the thing. It's always been like that, though. Gabe, you remember last playoffs, too. Oh, these guys suck. And then when they lost Kawhi, what are they going to do without Kawhi? It's the same story, the same narrative all the time. Yeah, just block it out. I get the pregame with your buddy Leo, so I don't really worry about what those other turkeys are saying. I know Leo knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I miss my boy, Leo. I would have preferred Leo than Stephen A. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, wine and twine.
No, you're right. Yeah. Leo Rowden drank more wine this summer than I did. But that's yeah,
and
story.
Who's the other guy in the bubble? Who was it? 85 bottles.
CJ McCollum.
Yeah, McCollum. He likes wine.
Shout out to all of our radio affiliates. I am Gabe Morenci. You are listening to Game Time Decisions. We're kicking it with Raging Redhead Cam Stewart, Right Side Sports. Donnie Right Side's going to step up, and in a couple of minutes, we're going to run the gauntlet with Donnie. NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. We've got it all going on. The countdown is on. College football, of course, started with Central Arkansas and Austin Peay. We've got a couple of more games on Thursday. More games Friday, etc., and then sort of next Saturday, full slate of college football. And, oh, yeah, what's that other league that's about to start? The NFL is about to start. And positive news from a coronavirus perspective, out of like 8,000 tests the NFL just did, they had 6 positive cases only. So, good news so far for the start of the season. But really the dangers will start when there's actual games and a bunch of dudes lying on top of each other and players going through airports and airplanes and hotels and everything else in between. But we've got some game time decisions to make on the program. We got a basketball game going on as well as we speak, which is always cool. And we got a close basketball game, a tied basketball game right now, 26-26. The Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors. And you know, you don't want to say that a game two is a must-win situation, but Boston is feeling it right now, and there's no home court advantage. There's no sort of pop or, you know, energy boost, you know, the old turbo boost button, so to speak, to hit. And you don't want to find yourselves down 2-0. Listen, Boston are a good team. The Raptors have to do a better job of taking away the three-point shot from the Boston Celtics. But if you're the Raptors, you do have to be encouraged. Pascal Siakam is very engaged in the basketball game early. I still think this is going to be a long and tough series for both basketball teams. I think we could be looking at a 7-game set here. And speaking of game sevens, you know, Utah and Denver tonight, very interesting, guys. The Utah Jazz have never blown a 3-1 series lead in franchise history before. The Denver Nuggets have never come back from down 3-1 in franchise history before. Is history going to be made tonight?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabe Morenci. We're kicking it with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors first quarter in the books. And for you first quarter players out there, depending on whether you played the money line or the point spread, the Raptors were 0.5, but they were minus 125 on the money line. We money lined the first quarter like a lot of people did. Ended up a push at 28-28. It's 31-30 right now early in the second quarter of play. Let's bring in Right Side Sports, Donnie Right Side, to help put us on the right side as we make our game time decisions this evening. Donnie, always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. By the way, this is kind of, you didn't have the power, Gabe, to maneuver the show around to say, look, the Raptors are playing. I'm not coming on the air. We might have to have some FCC regulations with that dump button going on right now.
Yeah, you know, I really am censoring myself, actually, because I gotta tell you, I'm like Kramer at the dentist. The expletives fly during a Toronto Raptor game. And it actually struck me before the show started. It hit me. I was like, you know, I really should just be drunk at a bar right now.
Yes. I like it. That's a great plan.
I'll never forget there was like a playoff. It was like the Toronto Maple Leafs were playing in the playoffs. A couple of weeks ago. No, it was a long time ago because they got eliminated quickly. Our boy, the raging redhead, Cam Stewart, I think we had technical difficulties. Oh, no, it was like a hurricane or something, or a tornado or whatever it was. It was a hurricane. And we weren't on that day. And it worked out well as the Toronto Maple Leafs were playing. And I tweeted out, how drunk is Cam going to get suddenly? It was like a New Year's Eve party. So did you pull the trigger on anything in this game, Donnie, with the Raptors and the Celtics?
Nope, just watching as a fan right now. Just to bring up some other times, I remember you doing live shows like during the Buffalo Bills, Jacksonville Jaguars. I think you were actually in Vancouver for that one, for that Blake Bortles, Tyrod Taylor special. So you've done a lot of live content. Forget, Gabe, we did a couple years ago, did the Super Bowl where I left the room 37 times during the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl. I said, hey, Donnie, we got a show going on. You got to get back out here with the fellas. I couldn't even pay attention, man.
That was a great time. I nearly started a riot by asking Loshak how big his units were. It's none of your business. I'm not trying to get close to it. Because he said, you know, none of your business. He said, two units on this, one unit on that. I said, just for the record, how much is a unit?
What's a unit?
Well, that's kind of a personal, like, yeah, you would have thought I asked him who he was voting for. Yeah. He goes, that's kind of a personal question. And I just said, I'll tell you how much I bet. I got 250 on this. I got 500 on that. I got 75 on the coin toss. Like I was going off, you know, I was going down my chart. And that was a fun time in Costa Rica. The Eagles beat the Patriots in that Super Bowl.
Great day. So, excellent day.
Yeah. Memories. I don't think the Patriots will be playing the Eagles in a Super Bowl this year, guys.
No. The injury bowl.
Those were good times.
So we'll keep our eye on this basketball game and any in-game opportunities. The number is pretty much hovering around the original number. Total 216.5 right now. Raptors are -1.5. So we're exactly where we started. So let's get into game 7, Donnie, before we run the gauntlet, get into the Flyers, Islanders, and then baseball as well. Game 7 tonight, I brought up the fact that the Utah Jazz have never blown a 3-1 series lead in franchise history before. And the Denver Nuggets have never come back from 3-1 down before. And in fact, 3-1 comebacks are rare in the NBA as a whole, as we know, throughout the history of the association. So not just the Denver Nuggets, but doesn't it feel like the Denver Nuggets are about to come back from a 3-1 deficit tonight?
It absolutely does, because when you take a look at the past, who is the pressure on? When you're up 3-1, the other team's supposed to just walk away and you're supposed to close them out, or at least get them in game 6. Now you're in game 7. It's house money for the other team. They say, hey, we already won back-to-back games. We could do it again. I remember when my Philadelphia Flyers back in, I believe it was 2000, with Boucher in net versus the New Jersey Devils, up 3-1. They took it easy in game 5, took it easy in game 6. They got bounced out in game 7. That has a lot of feel for this game. Give me the team that's coming back strong. They're the ones with house money right now.
Cam, your thoughts on this game tonight?
Couldn't agree with Donnie more. Look what happened. That's what we talked about. We needed Tampa Bay to step on Boston's throat. Don't ever give a team life. Yeah. I love what Denver's doing. I love what Jamal Murray's doing. This team is starting to figure it out. They actually looked horrible that one game versus Utah. I remember they're down 40. I'm going, what the hell is going on with this with Denver Nugget team here? But they're totally a different club right now. They're the conference. The pressure's on Utah. All the stars of Utah. You know, these guys are starting to fade. When the lights are hot, these guys are sweating and things aren't going very well right now. I'm riding the hot hand with the old Nuggets, Morenci. Give me Denver in this spot. I think they get it done. Three straight wins.
Yeah, we're digging for nuggets of gold.
Yes, gold. Not Cuban zirconia.
I'm a big Donovan Mitchell fan. A hell of a player. It's been a hell of a series. But his supporting cast is starting to let him down right now. True. And quite frankly, Denver's roster is better than Utah's roster. And it's starting to show. Right now, Joe Ingles 5 points the other night. Royce O'Neal, he's okay, but it's tough. You know, where do the points come from? Mike Conley's going to give you 20. He's going to give you 18. He's going to give you 20. Let's say, and if Mitchell gives you 40, you're still at 60. You got big problems. Yeah. I don't know how they go over all the time, to be honest, but they do.
It's crazy.
And the Nuggets, actually, all but one game of the bubble guys have gone over the number, 13-1 to the over with the Denver Nuggets. But, guys, it doesn't show in a box score, but it shows in the plus-minus and what he brings to the table. Gary Harris coming back is big. They miss Will Barton as well, but getting Gary Harris back is just another player, Donnie, that, you know, does the dirty things. You know what I mean? He's that grit guy that they were sort of missing. Jamal Murray's great, but he's finesse. Jokic is finesse. You know, Gary Harris is that scrappy Michigan State Spartan type of guy that's going to go out there and bang, you know, dive for loose balls, play defense. You can't write Utah off. Anything can happen. But I think the Denver Nuggets become the 12th team in NBA history to come back from 3-1 tonight. Only 11 teams have done it in the history of the league.
That's exactly correct. Also, Gabe, when you take a look at it, the over-under opened up at 219.5. How about a game seven? It drops down to 217.5. Now, we've seen most of these games are a lot more offense down in the bubble, but I'm of that old school adage. Game seven means more. You dig down deeper in lane. I actually lean towards the under, but it's hard to do that with the Nuggets because they continually go over. But I'm so old school. It says, hey, game seven, it's a little bit more tense and tight as opposed to free-flowing. I look at the under, but then again, I look at the Nuggets. Like, boy, you're going to go with an under and be so angry at yourself when it hits 240.
Cam, remember the basketball tournament on the college guys and the street guys stuff?
Yeah, I do.
You know, remember the tension in the building for the $1 million? There's no fans, and it was just tense. There's going to be that tension in the air tonight. It's game seven. There's no fans. They're in the bubble. I mean, they were talking about how there's a lot of tension in the air with the Raptors and Celtics. They're like, you'd think it's the finals. They're like, there's a lot of, like, it's palpable in the air, even before tip-off. They could just sort of feel the tension in the bubble. You're right. It's hard, like, it's hard not to believe that there's going to be, you know, some defense played tonight. I don't know.
I can't take the under, the total.
I do like the Denver Nuggets, though, so I guess we're all in agreement. Yeah. It's the Charles Barkley guarantee, all three of us.
If that guy says Denver before the game, I don't know what I'm going to do. More units on the Islanders, I guess, or Vegas. Like, please, Charles, don't say anything. But I remember that basketball tournament, too, Gabe. Remember them coming out, clank, 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 clank. That's the thing. They're playing for $1 million. They were brutal early, and then it finally took about 3 or 4 minutes. Then they got their groove after the first basket. But early, some of those shots were brutal. Air balls and stuff. You could tell they were nervous for the money, and even the pros feel that way too. I think it's imperative if you're backing Utah to get out early, because you were the ones that were in control. Now if Denver goes on a big run out of the gate, I think Utah just might be like, oh my god, again, we're gonna piss this thing away. Then a pressure really ratchets up even tighter than it is. But we're all Nuggets here.
You know, the problem with Utah is they need to play a perfect game. They need everybody hitting shots. And they need Denver to be a little bit off. You know, I don't know. It's really hard to get in front of Jamal Murray right now. And just, you know, the supporting cast that he has as well. They just have better players. Porter can hit a couple of shots. He's a liability defensively, but he can give you some points when he's on the court. I talk about Gary Harris coming back. Morris. They're just deeper to me in this situation. Give me the Denver Nuggets. We'll hit the NHL and Major League Baseball on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Moretz. We're kicking to the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. As announced, the Oklahoma Sooners have made Spencer Rattler their starting quarterback. You can see him play against Missouri State for the low price of $54.99 live on pay-per-view. As
do I get any more games with $54.95? You better give me a barrel.
Wow. Wow. Never mind, Donnie, pay-per-view for like players that aren't getting paid. Like in an era in which it's like, hey, you guys better start paying these kids. You're going to charge $54.99. You're playing Missouri State.
That's another thing.
It should be free. Number one, it should be free for students.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you're not a student, $5.49. How's that?
I'm thinking $3.99 for Missouri State. $3.99 with like a beverage.
$54.
Bag of chips.
$54.
That's sickening.
Robert Kraft's massage costs less than $54. Donnie, what's your take on fit? I know you love college ball, Donnie. $54.99 for Oklahoma?
Exactly. Are we getting anything else with this? Are we getting like upgraded seats for next year? Because maybe is there an opt-in at halftime, Gabe, for $24 at half price? I mean, I might be interested
Do we get a steak dinner in Norman? What the hell's going on here? That's craziness.
Brian Bosworth signed autographs.
You read my mind.
That's right. You and the boss.
A mini helmet and Barry Sims. Like, you know, I'm like, yeah. Like a bunch
Ride
of high schooner
and
like
half time. I don't know, something. Yeah.
like really? 54. Like, I think Hawaii is the only one that does this. Just because basically they don't have a TV deal anymore. And like Hawaii games, it's like, you know, it's like $10 a game. Right? Like they're not like, you know, they're just doing it to stay, you know, afloat basically.
Yeah.
$54.99.
Yeah, but who would actually pay that? You can't even get students to like come to the games when the tickets are free and you say, hey, let's get together and pay $54 for like a -50 line? That's wild, man. Wild times, Gabe.
Yeah, not to mention the game. Well, if they can charge 54, imagine, guys, what they can charge for the Texas Longhorn game. Good thing they already have a TV deal for that one.
Yeah, that's $149.95. Yeah,
$5.99, you get to watch the fourth quarter.
It's like tickets $200 to the state fair,
$500 for the game.
That's
what the future holds.
Oh, the future's gonna suck.
Yeah, so Kyle Lowry got like body checked. You know, this game's getting physical, as you would expect. All right, so we'll keep our eye on this basketball game. Of course, we all like the Denver Nuggets. It's 38-36 for the Boston Celtics right now. The in-game total is plummeting. From the 218.5 sitting at 206.5 right now. And now Boston are -1.5 because they're up a deuce. Okay, so we were talking about 3-1 deficits. And you think, well, yeah, you know, they don't come back a lot in the NBA. But you know what, Cam? They don't really come back a lot in the NHL. So this doesn't really bode well for your Philadelphia Flyers here, Dottie. teams trailing 3-1 are 29 and 284 in best of seven Stanley Cup playoff series, including 0-6 so far in the bubble this year. Donnie, do the Flyers have a win in them tonight?
To be honest with you, I mean, I would like to be the ultimate homer and say, oh my gosh, they're going to come back. Remember the Boston Bruins? We were down 3-0 and we came all the way back and we made it to the Stanley Cup final. It doesn't really feel the same because when these two teams match up, you could tell with your eyes, Gabe, when you look at it. And it's not a shame to say, being a Flyers fan, the Islanders are more talented. The Islanders control the entire game. Yes, could Hart stand on his head and give up one goal and give him a shot? Sure. But then all of a sudden you take a look at the power play, it doesn't work. Just look at this game with your eyes right now. I don't think the Flyers have enough to come back. Maybe win tonight, but they have no shot in the seven-game series. And I would love to be wrong, guys. I would.
Cam, you know the Flyers are going to bring their A game. We saw Boston lay it out on the table last
they
night.
Did.
But they can't score. We saw it against the Montreal Canadiens. They scored 8 goals in the series. They were lucky to win. They've scored 7 goals in this series against the New York Islanders. And I think Barry Trotz is good enough, Cam. He's been around the block enough times, and he's collapsed before, don't forget. He's had heartbreak in the playoffs before. Not to let him off. Not to let him off the hook, as the late, great Dennis Green stated. So I think the Islanders do come to play tonight, knowing that they don't want to give the Philadelphia Flyers any life.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The Flyers' stars have been awful in the series. I expect way more from a guy like Couturier and Voracek and all those guys. It's actually shocking, but the Islanders have a system. They suffocate you. And the big difference to me is the Islanders' depth. The Flyers do have great players and stars, but after that, it gets really, really thin. Where the Islanders roll out Casey Cizikas, Cal Clutterbuck, Komarov, these guys are killers. They're very, very responsible in their own end, and they also hit and hurt you. All the things that the Flyers do, it's basically like the Flyers are a bully in the sandbox and they pick the fight with the kid that can beat the crap out of them. That's the thing about the Islanders. They're not afraid. They're deep. Beauvillier is an absolute machine right now and they're getting goaltending. Yeah, I think it ends tonight, Moretti. I think the Flyers' bags are packed.
I see no reason not to play the under 5.5 as well at FanDuel. Minus 165. Goals are at a premium, even though it is an elimination game. It's not like the Islanders are lighting the lamp up either. I would go with the Islanders and the under 5.5. All right, let's get into some baseball, guys. We're a couple of minutes away. Yep. Ken, you're our Toronto Blue Jay insider. What's your take on the Toronto Blue Jays in this baseball game against the Marlins?
I'm going to bet them, but I wouldn't suggest the listeners run out and like mortgage it. It's not your prop bet with Glasnow, Gabe, where you tell the wife, hey, honey, I'm going to meet the bank manager to take out a second mortgage. It's Merriweather versus Hernandez. We're getting 15 cents here. This game, on the other hand, too, it's not in Buffalo anymore. It's in Miami. It's a very low total. It's basically going to be a bullpen game, Gabe. They're going to start Merriweather. The Marlins will start Hernandez. Who knows how long these guys are going to go. But I will say this. The Marlins have had problems scoring recently. Also, VR against his old team. I think that's a little bit interesting there. He wanted to play for the Blue Jays tonight and get into the lineup. So moving from the Marlins to the Jays, I think just the Jays have a better offense. I will take my chances with the dog at plus 115. Give me the Blue Jays.
Yeah, down to 112 right now. But the fact that they're an underdog is intriguing, isn't it, Donnie? Should the Blue Jays be an underdog in this baseball game?
I'll tell you, the Marlins have been an odd team all year long. I'm telling you, if they make the playoffs over my Philadelphia Phillies, you talk about a $3 payroll to $150 million payroll, that's going to be amazing. Marte should help them out. But I always like to joke when I see some of these games. Like, this sounds like a WBC featherweight match in Vegas. You know, Merriweather versus Hernandez on the mound. But look, Toronto's hot. I'm going to keep with that moniker. And if I'm going to get Toronto at a dog price, why not play it? Because the one thing you know is the Marlins are going to come out in that ballpark and score 5 or 6 runs and put away Toronto. They'll be in it. I always lean to the underdog in those situations.
All right. Next game up at 6:40 Eastern time, less than 10 minutes away. And a great call last night. Cam, St. Louis Cardinals got it done for us. Yeah. Cardinals send Kim to the hill tonight against Sonny Gray. And here are the Cincinnati Reds, a pretty big favorite. Hard to trust the Reds as a favorite, even with Sonny Gray on the hill. What's your take on this one, Cam?
I think the line tells you that I think St. Louis will be a heavily bet public team with Kim. Kim's a very good pitcher, but I'm not sure how long he's going to go. I have faith in Sonny Gray. I know the Cincinnati Reds came back, Gabe. That game was very interesting. We were up 7-1, 7-2, and it ended 7-5. It got a little bit dicey at the end. The Reds have done that a lot this year, come back, and they just can't seem to get the job done. With Sonny Gray, I like them. It's a little bit too much juice. It was around mid-50s. Now I'm seeing, it's up over 60 cents now, but I like the Cincinnati Reds to get it done tonight. I believe in Sonny Gray.
Donnie, any opinion on the Cards Reds?
Yeah, I think Cam's on the right side here. I actually took a little bit piece of the run line in the first five innings to go head to head. Now, most people will look at this and say, well, Donnie, Kim's got a 1.08 ERA, but his advanced analytics show a 5.02 xFIP and a 5.54 Sierra. So he's getting a little bit lucky with that ERA. I'm going to take Gray to get it. Just give me a 2-1 game after five. I'll pull it down. But I agree with Cam here. I like the Reds tonight, and that price does show it.
All right, so let's talk about Donnie Wrightside's Philadelphia Phillies right now, looking for their seventh win in eight games. This is the best run that they've been on all year. They have Nola on the hill here tonight. What's your take, Donnie?
I like them tonight, and I usually don't like the bet games, above 150. So, a couple of the offshore price markets around that 145. I think that's a fair price for the Phillies. They really hammer left-handed pitching. But again, Corbin's a pretty good pitcher. But if you line up that Phillies lineup outside of Alex Bohm, they really rake lefties. I'm going to lean on that side of it. And they're hot. And all we needed in Philadelphia was just some competent pitchers in the bullpen so you don't let these games get away. The bats should be able to carry it over. The Philadelphia Phillies bullpen should be able to hang on. And that Nationals lineup outside of Trey Turner leading off and Juan Soto, not a lot left to be desired. Nola should be good tonight. I like the Philadelphia Phillies at that 145 price here.
Last night, Donnie, we went 4-0 with our strikeout props, Major League Baseball pitcher strikeout props. And Cam, I like Nola tonight. I'm with Donnie. I like the Philadelphia Phillies to win this baseball game. And I like Aaron Nola over 5.5 strikeouts. Nola's gone over 5.5 strikeouts in five of his six starts, including 8 strikeouts in his last start against the same Washington National team. Give me Nola to win the game, Cam, and give me Nola over 5.5 strikeouts. What's your take, Cam, on the game?
I like it. I agree. I agree with you guys, and I love the Philadelphia Phillies. Here's the deal tonight. It's going to be, Gabe, you know me. I'm round robin Cam tonight. That's what I'm going to be doing. I hate to say it. I'm usually all dogs. But you know what I mean? I'm looking at these matchups tonight, and I got to do a bunch of two-game parlay mixed bag in baseball.
We should play round on the way out.
Round and round. Yeah. I hope what comes around doesn't go around. We had a good night last night, Gabe. We got to keep the units rolling, but I liked a lot of stuff tonight. I'm with Donnie. Give me the Philadelphia Phillies and Nola. Yeah. They absolutely eat lefties. Corbin's a good one, as Donnie said, but the Philadelphia Phillies should get runs tonight. I don't mind laying the juice. Put them in parlays, buddy. We'll turn it to plus money.
Ooh. All right, on the other side, we'll get into this Tampa Bay New York Yankee game. The Rays are really starting to get into the Yankees' heads.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decision continues. I am Gabriel Morenzo. We're kicking to the Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart, Donnie Wrightside with us for a couple of more moments. First half batters right now are on the clock, 50-48. And in fact, are we there yet? Yep. Yeah, we're getting there. 50-48 at the half. The Boston Celtics have a 2-point lead going into the locker room for you first half batters out there. 50-48 Boston. After the first 24 minutes, it's a very tight basketball game. It really is. They're just going back and forth. They're trading buckets. They're literally just trading buckets, except not in a run-and-gun manner. It's a slower tempo. It's a very Eastern Conference style feel basketball game. All right, we'll get back to the basketball. Donnie Wrightside with us for a couple more minutes. So, Donnie, Rays and Yankees, they sent Tanaka to the hill here tonight. Trevor Richards counters for the Tampa Bay Rays. This Rays team, guys, unbelievable. What can you say about this team? They're 19-3 in their last 22 now, 15-2 in their last 17, 7-1 in their last 8 against the New York Yankees. And they're underdogs here this evening. It's not a favorable pitching matchup, but can you lay the juice with the Yankees tonight?
Yeah, opened up, what, 127? Now we're seeing closer to 150. I actually like the Yankees in this spot, and kudos to the Rays because they're doing it with a lot of injuries as well. Dominance over the New York Yankees. But I like this Yankees lineup tonight. Just because we're not looking at maybe a Stanton or a Judge still in the lineup or even a Gleyber Torres, there's still a lot of guys that can do some damage versus right-handed pitching. LeMahieu, Voit, Hicks, Frazier, Urshela, and also Talkman, plus batters against right-handers. And also when you take a look at Richards, you're not really getting too much out of him. We take a look even some of the advanced statistics, Gabe. 5.56 xFIP and a 5.10 Sierra. The Yankees should be able to hit tonight. Instead of taking the game itself, Gabe, I felt more comfortable taking the Yankees team total over 4.5 in the Bronx. I'll grab that. I think Yankees get 5+ runs tonight. Pick up a win, but I feel more comfortable with the team total itself.
Cam, any opinion on that one?
Yeah, I lean to the Yankees too with Tanaka. The thing about Tampa Bay is their bullpen has been ravaged. So I don't expect Richards to go that deep in the game, and eventually it will catch up with them. Let's remember, we were on the Rays last night, Gabe. We'll give ourselves the old Barry Horowitz there with Glasnow over strikeouts and Rays plus 130. Tonight's going to be a different story with the Yankees, Gabe. But I do have one dog, and I'm talking this dog is rolled in salmon excrement, one of the worst pooches ever. Like, you won't let him on your neighbor's lawn. I got a real doozy for you right now on the baseball board, buddy. It's bad.
All right, let me just quickly say, as Donnie mentioned, you know, Yandy Diaz and Austin Meadows both banged up for Tampa Bay. They've got injuries catching up to them as well. Who's the ugly pooch of the night, Cam?
Gabe, we're going with the Pittsburgh Pirates as my pooch of the night against the Chicago Cubs at plus 155. Chad Cool going against our boy Lester. Lester's had a lot of problems recently. This guy's not the same pitcher, Gabe. This is stupid. That's my dog of the night. I'm going to split her up and take the plus 1.5, and I'm going to take the money line at 50 cents. Give me, yar, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the upset is Cam's ugly pooch of the night.
You know who my ugly pooch of the night is? I guess not quite as ugly because it's just I'm not getting that much, but I'm taking the Baltimore Orioles tonight.
I was looking at them too.
I think Wojciechowski is going to have a nice night tonight. The Mets are in a free fall. Baltimore, you know, as a plus money at home, I like them in this spot. All right, so before we get Donnie out of here, anything else on the baseball card here, Donnie, that we didn't get to catches your eye tonight?
Yeah, with that Mets-Baltimore game, you also want to keep an eye on as well. Wojciechowski, you know, needs to have a really good effort tonight because you're talking about a Baltimore Orioles bullpen that last year when you saw him get lit up, now they traded away Castro and Givens out of the bullpen. He's got to go at least 6 or 7 innings in this game for them to have a chance. I see runs down in Baltimore from both of these teams. Two decent hitting lineups tonight. I think they get over that 10.5. I can see 11+ runs coming in. I'll go that route in that game.
You know, Wojo is strikeout prop is only 3.5. I like it. And one of the reasons, as you stated, Donnie, I expect him to be out there for at least 4 or 5 innings, even if he gives up runs, right? Like, if he gives up 4 runs, they're not pulling him out of the game, right? No. So I was looking at the strikeout prop, but I'm not feeling the Mets right now. Cam, any opinion on that one?
It's a tough game, Gabe. The way I'd play it is probably over as well. Both of these teams, I have no faith in relievers on either side. I will say this about Baltimore, watching them play the last series against the Jays. They are gritty. Santander is one of the most underrated players in Major League Baseball. Always quality at bats. They have guys, you know, that are just up there. They're in the big leagues and they're giving her. Like the Jays they might have won 3 or 4, but the Orioles are hanging around in that series. I'll tell you, the Mets, if they take the foot off the gas, they could be in big trouble there. I like the over in this spot too. I agree with right side.
Donnie Wrightside kicking it with us. I am Gabe Morency, and shout out to all of our radio affiliates, kicking it with Cam Stewart as well, of course. So Donnie, before we get you out of here, the Miami Heat, very, very trendy pick to beat the Milwaukee Bucks in this series. Even Spencer Dinwiddie tweeted out before the game started last night that he thinks the Heat are going to beat them. You can still get plus 148 right now with the Miami Heat. They're up 1-0. The Milwaukee Bucks are minus 184 right now. You know, I know it's only 1 game, man, but Milwaukee have struggled all the way through in the bubble. Their body language is terrible. Their supporting cast is terrible. Seems like the wheels are falling off for the Milwaukee Bucks right now. Still value, in your opinion, with the Miami Heat at plus 148?
I don't think so. I'm actually going to lean towards the Milwaukee Bucks here, and specifically looking at game two with that minus five. I just look at it as like you're there at the number one seed for a reason. We saw with the Lakers game where as soon as they lost game one, oh my God, yo, it's the best eighth seed we've ever seen, and the Lakers wiped them off the planet. Game two is going to tell you a lot. I think the Milwaukee Bucks will bounce back over the series itself. I think it's going to go at least six or seven games in this one, but I'm still going to be with the Bucks until they get knocked off. They go down 0-2, it's probably a wrap, but I expect a hard-fought effort coming back. And Jimmy Butler is going to have to go nuclear every single game in order for the Heat to win. I don't know if he can do it.
I have thought myself, I'm an idiot. I was one of the people that said before the series started that I think Miami are going to beat Milwaukee. And then sort of the same thing, Donnie. I'm like, come on, man. I only got to lay five with Milwaukee. I thought, like, you know, you guys are all getting too cute with Miami here. But I just don't like, and, you know, Eric Bledsoe's a big key. Eric Bledsoe's not great, but they do need him. And honestly, they actually lost because of Giannis. I mean, he's 4-for-12 from the free throw line. It's just not good enough. 18 points, not good enough for him either. But I'm not even so concerned about the 18, but just leaving so many points, leaving those 8 points on the floor like that, man, in a basketball game that, what, you lost by 11? Yeah, it can't happen. It just can't happen. And Rockets and Thunder, what a weird roller coaster series, man. Just what a weird series this one is. They're going seven. And within this game seven, there'll be like 13 little mini games and runs. Any opinion, Donnie, on that one before we get you out of here?
I don't have an opinion on it, but I am one of the ultimate haters of Russell Westbrook. So just on that, I'm going to take the Oklahoma City Thunder here, Gabe. Put on my hater hat.
And Russell Westbrook. Yes. In trouble at New Orleans right now with Kamara.
Look at that, man.
I'm not high on the Saints. I have been the last couple of years, but I don't know.
Not this year.
I can kind of see the wheels falling off a little bit for them this year. But we'll start talking football with Donnie next week. Donnie, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for joining us. Find him on Twitter at Donnie Rightside, Rightside Sports. Donnie Rightside on Twitter. Thanks, Donnie.
Cam and Gabe, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We'll do it again next week. Take care, boys.
There's Donnie Rightside. Great stuff as always with Donnie, 50-48. At the half, tough break for Toronto Raptor first half backers. And I'll tell you what, the Raptors are going to have to figure it out. They can't allow the Boston Celtics to hit as many threes as they're hitting. It's just unbelievable. Like the Raptors are, you know, like you can't say they're playing great. They've only scored 48 points, but it's a battle out there. It's an Eastern Conference battle, but the three ball is just a problem. Every time the Raptors take a 2-point lead, a 3-point lead, Boston hits a three. And then they take a 2 or 3 point lead. The Raptors defensively are going to have to figure out how to stop these guards, Cam.
Exactly, Gabe. That's the thing that I've noticed the most. I can understand, you know, sometimes, as you mentioned before, it took Van Fleet a while to get his 3-point stroke and all the other guys. But it's been the defense. They've been so lax. Like, the Boston Celtics are not just getting threes. They're getting threes where you could sit down, make a margarita, shake it up. You know, it's crazy. I've never seen the Raptors give a team this much comfortable space. They got to get into something. They got to get in these guys' faces without fouling them and make them shoot awkward shots. Right now, the defense is unacceptable. It's shocking, actually. They're playing very lax. But, hey, there's a half left. Nick Nurse is a great adjuster. That's why he's coach of the year. These guys are going to figure it out, and they understand. You can't go down 2-0. I hate to say it too, Gabe. If they go down 2-0, that's a big hill to climb.
It really is. I know it only sounds like it's 2-0, and they were down 2-0 in the Milwaukee Bucks last year, but they also played games 3 and 4 at Jurassic Park in front of 20,000 crazy people and thousands outside. It was different enthusiasm factor. They also had Kawhi Leonard. And, they're not playing poorly today, and we got to give credit to Boston. Boston are 5-0 in the bubble so far, and this is a very good basketball team. Boston and me have always been good. They've always had a good roster, but they always have chemistry problems. Seems like they're doing better without Gordon Hayward here right now. So 50-48, just for the record, I know everybody played Van Fleet props over tonight because his kids were back. I thought we were going to be like insiders by telling people this, and then Chris Webber tells everyone on the broadcast, oh, I expect him to go off like he did last year when the kid was born. So Van Fleet was 18.5, his point prop. He's at 14.5. His three-point prop was 2.5. He's 2-for-6 from three-point land. But let's blast through some picks right now, Cam. as much as we can. And we have in-game live. We'll track all this stuff. Great night last night for the strikeout props, and I'm back for more this evening. We talked about Aaron Nola, and why wouldn't I like Aaron Nola? Over in five, so the strikeout prop is 5.5 tonight. He just started. His last start was actually against the Nationals. He had 8 strikeouts. It's 5.5. Cam, he started 6 ball games this year. He's gone over 5.5 in 5 of them. Like, you know, to me, yeah, the number's too low. I'm taking Aaron Nola. I like the Phillies to win the game, but I like Aaron Nola over 5.5 strikeouts. I'm going to go with a pitcher no one really knows here, Cam, and Ian Anderson, kid with the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
Shout out to our boy Kyle. It's only his second start ever. All right, I like this because the Red Sox aren't going to know his stuff, really. They'll have a little tape, but they're, you know, they've never seen it in person before. He's one of these kids, a strikeout specialist. It's only his second start ever. Tell you what, Cam, in his debut, he went 6 innings against the New York Yankees. 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, only gave up 1 hit. 1 hit, I gave like up that. A home run. Yeah, that's all. Yeah. That's all. So his strikeout prop is 4.5 tonight at Boston in his second start, as we stated. If you want to dig a little bit deeper, as you can tell, I did my homework today. We're ready to make some money tonight. Last year in Double A and Triple A combined, he had 172 strikeouts and 135 innings. So he is a strikeout pitcher, and 4.5 strikeouts.
And Boston, too. They got a lot of free swingers on that team. Yeah, as I said before, Gabe, you know, there's only a couple dogs on the baseball board that have really caught my eye. So I like your strikeout prop. I also think Atlanta might take these guys out to the woodshed. Weber Barbecues likes to get fired up. He gets lit up a lot. He's a very, very bad pitcher, and he's going for Boston tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta, you know, scored eight runs in tonight. And I like your boy Anderson, too. That's why they're minus 175, and I like your strikeout prop.
Yeah, it goes to show this kid, right? Your second start and you're minus 175 on the road. Lindblom, 5.5. Listen, Lindblom's just 3-3 to the over in his 6 starts, over 5.5. He's had exactly four strikeouts in both of his last starts, Ken, but he only lasted 4 innings in both those starts. So he actually got hit and still had 4 strikeouts. Tigers strike out a lot, too, 9.4.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, good start for the underdogs here, as we just talked about. The Toronto Blue Jays plus 112 and the St. Louis Cardinals plus 142. Off to a good start, 1-0 and 2-0, respectively. I just can't lay a price with the Cincinnati Reds. Cam's pooch of the night with a big yellow P. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, sorry, Pete. A lot of people are cheering against me tonight. Hey, that's fine. I like the Pittsburgh Pirates plus 150, Gabe. I also like a couple games in chalk, Philadelphia and the Yankees. Also going to turn a minus into a plus with two teams. I know you like a strikeout prop, but I like Atlanta parlayed with Cleveland. So I'm going to do Atlanta and the Cleveland Indians to plus money. I'm also going to put Cleveland in another parlay with the Vegas Golden Knights, New York Islanders in hockey as well. Buddy, what do you got for me? And later on tonight, you know what? I am betting on the Denver Nuggets money line. I think they get it done and win 3 straight in a row. What do you got, Morenci?
Yeah, great call last night on the Royals getting it done against Bieber. We hit the strikeout prop, but you talked about the Royals being a live pooch last night. One game I like coming up here at 7:05 on the diamond. I do like the Philadelphia Phillies to win this game, and I also like Aaron Nola to go over 5.5 strikeouts. He's gone over 5.5 and 5 is 6 starts, including 8 against the same Washington National team. And I like the under 5.5 in the Philadelphia Flyer-New York Islander game. And I like the New York Islanders to finish the Flyers off tonight as well. So there's a 4-pack coming up here right now. Philadelphia Phillies to win. Aaron Nola over 5.5 strikeouts. Islanders to win. And under 5.5 in the hockey game, Ken.
Love it. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with these totals in this hockey game. It should stay under the number. The second game, I might take the over in, but you're right. The Islanders, they're going to want to tighten it up. If they score that first goal, they're going to make it real hard on Philadelphia, and that's what the Islanders do. They're just so well coached.
All right, so we have the second half has begun between the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors. OG has hit a three, gives the Raptors a one-point lead. But right on cue, there's Kemba Walker with a three. They're basically just trading buckets back and forth. In-game live with me and Cam next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.